You promised that bracelet would be mine. Elena Ashmore stopped outside the office door. The basket of hot bread and venison stew grew heavier in her hands. She hadn't meant to overhear anything. She had only come because Kieran often forgot to eat during council meetings. Inside the room, Maris laughed softly. It looks beautiful on me, doesn't it? Elena's heart skipped. The ceremonial mate bracelet. She recognized the silver band instantly. She had helped the jeweler choose the moonstone months ago. It was supposed to be presented to her during the spring mating ceremony. Slowly, she stepped closer to the half-open door. Kieran's warm voice answered. It always belonged to you. Maris smiled. And Elena? A chair scraped across the wooden floor. Then Kieran chuckled. She's useful. The words struck harder than a slap. Maris wrapped her arms around his neck. You've let her believe she'll become Luna.
I had to. Kieran shrugged. She handles the trade agreements, the treasury, the healers, the harvest records. If she hadn't spent the last 3 years keeping this pack together, when would we have had time for each other? Maris laughed. You're terrible. I prefer practical. And after the mating ceremony? Kieran didn't hesitate. I'll reject her. Maris blinked. In front of everyone? Why not? He slipped the bracelet onto her wrist. Once the ceremony is over, I won't need Elena anymore. Silence filled the hallway. Elena stared through the narrow opening in the door. The man she had loved since they were teenagers stood smiling at her best friend. The same friend who had cried on her shoulder after failed courtships. The same friend she had trusted with every secret. Neither of them looked guilty. They looked happy. The basket slipped from Elena's fingers. Clay bowls shattered across the stone floor. The laughter inside stopped instantly. The office door swung open. Kieran stepped into the hallway. His smile vanished. Elena. Maris appeared behind him, the silver bracelet still glittering around her wrist. For several heartbeats, no one spoke. Kieran reached toward her. I can explain. Elena looked at him, then at Maris, then at the bracelet she had once dreamed of wearing. Something inside her quietly broke. Not with anger, not with tears, with understanding. A small smile appeared on her face. Calm, gentle, almost peaceful. I'm sorry, she said softly. Both of them frowned. Maris folded her arms. For what? Elena looked at the shattered bowls scattered across the floor, then back at the two people she had loved most. For staying long enough to hear the truth. She bent down, gathered the broken pieces into the empty basket, and carefully set it against the wall. Kieran took a step forward. Elena, wait. She didn't. She walked past him without another word. Past the council chamber, where everyone still believed she would soon become Luna. Past the servants, who smiled and greeted her. Past the future she had spent 3 years building. She never looked back. Behind her, Kieran sighed and rubbed the back of his neck. She'll calm down. Maris slipped her hand into his. She always forgives you. Neither of them noticed the quiet certainty in Elena's smile. Because it wasn't the smile of a woman planning to return. It was the smile of someone who had finally decided. She never would. Before the first rays of dawn touched Thornridge Pack, Elena Ashmore was already gone. She didn't leave in anger. She left in silence. The little cottage she had shared with Kieran stood perfectly neat. The fireplace had been swept clean. Fresh flowers still rested on the kitchen table. Only the things that had belonged to Elena before she met Kieran were missing. Simple dresses, her mother's faded quilt, a box of herbal journals, a worn leather satchel. Everything else remained. The silver necklaces Kieran had gifted her. The silk gowns chosen for the spring mating ceremony. Even the wedding cloak, embroidered with the future Luna's crest. She folded it carefully and placed it across the bed. On Kieran's desk rested one final item, the mate bracelet. Beside it lay a single note. Thank you for teaching me the difference between loving someone and being useful to them. I hope you never confuse the two again. Elena. By sunrise, the servants discovered the empty cottage. News spread quickly through the pack. The future Luna has disappeared. Kieran read the note once, then tossed it onto his desk with a sigh. She needs time. Maris slipped an arm through his. She'll come back. She always does. He wanted to believe her. For the first week, life continued as usual. Then the problems began. The grain merchants refused to unload their wagons. They're waiting for Lady Elena's signature, one trader explained. Kieran frowned. I'll sign. The merchant shook his head. She negotiated every contract personally. We only honor her seal. 2 days later, the chief healer appeared outside Kieran's office. The medicine shipment hasn't arrived. It should have been here yesterday. Maris waved dismissively. Order more. We can't. The suppliers only trusted Lady Elena. By the third week, the treasury books no longer balanced. No one understood the accounting system Elena had quietly maintained for years. Winter food reserves were misplaced. Village tax records disappeared beneath stacks of unfinished paperwork. Arguments broke out between merchants and guards. Kieran spent every evening buried beneath documents he had never realized existed. Late one night, the elderly steward entered his office carrying another ledger. Your Alpha. Kieran looked up wearily. What now? The Western villages. What about them? They've received no supplies. Kieran rubbed his temples. Why wasn't I told? The steward hesitated. You were. Lady Elena solved it before it reached your desk. Silence filled the room. The old steward quietly placed several ledgers before him. These are all matters she handled. Kieran stared at the towering pile. Trade agreements. Harvest reports. Border negotiations. Medical records. Hundreds of documents. He looked at the empty chair where Elena used to sit during council meetings. For the first time, he wondered how often she had quietly saved him from problems he had never even known existed. Across the room, Maris forced a smile. She'll be back. But her voice held far less confidence than before. Far beyond Thornridge Pack, deep within Whitestone Forest, a small wooden sign swung gently outside a lonely cottage. Healer available inside. Elena smiled warmly as she wrapped a bandage around a frightened little girl's injured arm. For the first time in years, she slept peacefully. Nearly 2 years passed. Whitestone Forest became the only home Elena needed. The little clinic she built beside the river welcomed anyone who knocked. Travelers, children, injured wolves, even wandering rogues who had nowhere else to go. She never asked where they came from, only where it hurt. The villagers soon stopped calling her simply the healer. They called her the woman who never turned anyone away. One autumn evening, dark clouds gathered over the mountains. Rain hammered the forest. The usually gentle river swelled into a raging current. Elena had just secured the shutters when something caught her eye. A body. It floated between broken branches, disappearing beneath the rushing water before rising again. Without thinking, she grabbed a rope. No, she whispered. Hold on. She ran along the muddy bank until the current carried the stranger close enough. Throwing the rope around a tree, she waded into the freezing river. The icy water rose to her waist, then her shoulders. The current nearly swept her away. Finally, her fingers caught the stranger's cloak. He was heavy, much heavier than she expected. Every step toward the shore felt impossible. By the time she dragged him onto the riverbank, both of them were shivering. She rolled him onto his back. A deep sword wound crossed his shoulder. Three black feathered arrows protruded from his back. The skin around each wound had already darkened. "Poison?" she breathed. There wasn't time to fetch help. She snapped the arrow shafts first. Then, using every bit of strength she had left, pulled the unconscious man onto a wooden cart and hauled him to her clinic. The next several days passed in a blur. She removed the arrowheads, cleaned the wounds every few hours, forced bitter antidotes between his lips whenever he could swallow. Several times his fever became so fierce, she thought she had lost him. Still, he kept breathing. On the seventh morning, Elena entered his room, carrying fresh broth. She nearly dropped the bowl. The stranger was awake. His gray eyes studied the unfamiliar room before settling on her. "You?" His voice was rough. "I should have left me." She set the bowl down and smiled faintly. "I tried," he frowned. "You tried? You were far heavier than you looked." For the first time since waking, the stranger laughed. It was quiet, painful, but genuine. "You carried me out of a flooded river?" I complained the entire way. A hint of amusement touched his face. "I don't remember hearing it." "That's because you were unconscious." She helped him sit up carefully before handing him the broth. "You'll need your strength." He accepted it without argument. "My name is Rowan," he said after a long silence. "I'm a hunter." Elena nodded politely. "I'm Elena." Neither asked another question. Neither realized that this quiet introduction would change both of their lives forever. Outside, far beyond the peaceful forest, royal riders searched every road in the kingdom. Their missing king was still nowhere to be found. Rowan recovered slowly. His wounds were deep, and the poison had weakened him more than he admitted. For 2 weeks, Elena refused to let him leave his bed. Each morning she changed his bandages. Each afternoon she made him drink another cup of bitter medicine. Every evening they shared simple meals by the fireplace. "You make terrible tea," Rowan said one night after taking a cautious sip. Elena raised an eyebrow. "My tea kept you alive." "It nearly killed me a second time," she laughed. "Then tomorrow I'll make it even stronger." To his surprise, he found himself looking forward to those quiet arguments. Unlike the nobles in the capital, Elena never treated him differently. She scolded him when he tried to lift heavy firewood. She confiscated his boots after catching him sneaking outside before his stitches healed. "You'll reopen the wound. I've survived worse. Not under my roof." He surrendered with a dramatic sigh. "You're a very strict healer. And you're a terrible patient." One crisp morning, Elena was hanging herbs outside the clinic when distant hoofbeats echoed through the forest. Rowan looked up sharply. His easy smile disappeared. "Inside," he said quietly. She frowned. "What is it?" "I need you to stay inside." Before she could ask another question, dozens of riders burst into the clearing. Black banners bearing a silver wolf snapped in the wind. The lead rider leaped from his horse. The moment he saw Rowan standing in the doorway, relief flooded his face. He dropped to one knee. "Your Majesty." Every soldier behind him did the same. Elena froze. Her gaze shifted slowly toward Rowan. He closed his eyes for a brief moment. "I was hoping to explain before this happened." The captain stood, emotion thick in his voice. "The kingdom believed you were dead. We searched every river, every mountain pass." Rowan placed a reassuring hand on the captain's shoulder. "I'm alive because of her." He turned toward Elena. "I owe this healer my life." The captain immediately bowed to Elena. "So do we." She stared at Rowan. "You're..." He smiled apologetically. "Alpha King Rowan Blackthorn." Silence stretched between them. Finally, Elena folded her arms. "So, there really wasn't much hunting?" Rowan rubbed the back of his neck. "A little." "You hunted?" I frightened one rabbit, and it escaped. She couldn't help laughing. The tension broke instantly. Even the soldiers smiled. Rowan stepped closer. The truth is, I was ambushed while traveling to negotiate a peace treaty. They wanted the throne. They almost succeeded. He looked into her eyes. If you hadn't found me, I wouldn't be standing here. Elena lowered her gaze. I only did what anyone should. No. Rowan shook his head gently. You did what very few people actually would. The captain signaled for the royal carriage to be brought forward. It is time to return home, Your Majesty. Rowan nodded, then looked back at Elena. Come with me. She blinked. To the capital? I'd like you to see the kingdom you helped save. Elena smiled politely, then shook her head. I think I've had enough of living beside alphas. Rowan didn't argue. Instead, he smiled. Then I'll come back. Elena expected never to see Rowan again. He was an alpha king. Kings returned to palaces. Healers remained in small forest clinics. That was how the world worked. 1 week later, a familiar knock echoed across her porch. She opened the door. Rowan stood there carrying two baskets. You came back. I said I would. He lifted one basket. This one is for your clinic. She peeked inside. Fresh bandages, rare medicines, glass bottles she could never afford. Her eyes widened. These came from the royal apothecary. They did. The palace needs them more than I do. He smiled. I asked the palace healer. He disagreed. She laughed softly. And the second basket? He handed it to her. Fresh bread, mountain berries, a small honey cake. She looked up. You brought lunch? I remembered you forgetting to eat while you cared for me. She couldn't deny it. That afternoon, they shared a simple meal beneath the old oak tree beside the clinic. They spoke about everything except the palace. The following week, Rowan returned again, this time carrying lumber. The fence is leaning, I noticed, so did I. Before she could protest, he was already replacing broken posts. The week after that, he repaired the roof above the medicine room. When a widow's wagon became stuck in the mud, Rowan climbed down without hesitation and pushed until the wheels came free. The old woman blinked. You look familiar. Elena hid a smile. He gets that a lot. Months passed. The villagers stopped treating Rowan like a stranger. Children challenged him to races through the forest. Old Mr. Ellis insisted on teaching him how to carve walking sticks. Mrs. Hazel refused to let him leave without eating a second helping of pie. No one bowed. No one called him Your Majesty. They simply called him Rowan. One rainy afternoon, Elena found him stacking firewood outside her clinic. You know, she said, handing him a towel. Most kings send workers to do these things. He accepted the towel with a grin. Most healers don't pull complete strangers out of flooded rivers. She rolled her eyes. So this is repayment? No. He looked at the growing pile of wood. This is because I wanted to help. There was no hidden meaning, no expectation, no demand, just quiet honesty. That evening, they drank tea on the porch while rain drummed softly against the roof. Neither spoke for a long while. Finally, Rowan broke the silence. You've never asked why I keep coming back. Elena smiled into her cup. I already know. You do? The tea. He looked confused. You haven't found anyone else willing to make it as badly as I do. He laughed so hard, he nearly spilled his cup. For the first time in years, Elena laughed with him, not because she had forgotten her past, but because, little by little, she had stopped letting it decide her future. Just then, the sound of approaching horses echoed from the forest road. This time, Rowan's smile disappeared. He recognized those riders. The horses stopped outside the clinic. Elena looked toward the forest path. The moment the lead rider removed his hood, her smile faded. Kieran. He climbed down slowly. He looked older than she remembered. The confidence that had once defined him was gone. Dark circles shadowed his eyes. Behind him stood several Thornridge Pack elders. Not one of them met Elena's gaze. For a long moment, no one spoke. Finally, Kieran stepped forward. "I've been looking for you." Elena folded her hands calmly. "You've had 2 years." He lowered his eyes. "I know." Silence lingered. Then he looked around the little clinic. The herb gardens. The waiting benches. The grateful villagers waving to Elena as they passed. "You built all this?" She nodded. "With people who wanted to help." Kieran swallowed hard. "The pack?" He hesitated. "It's falling apart." Elena didn't answer. He continued anyway. "The trade agreements ended. The healers left. The merchants stopped trusting us. Half the council resigned. I thought I could replace what you did." A bitter laugh escaped him. "I couldn't." She looked at him quietly. "So you came because the pack needs me." His shoulders slumped. "I came because I need you." Before she could respond, another voice spoke behind her. "Is everything all right?" Rowan stepped onto the porch, carrying a crate of medicine. The moment Kieran saw him, his expression changed. He immediately recognized the silver wolf crest stitched onto Rowan's cloak. The Alpha King. Rowan set the crate down and calmly walked to Elena's side. Not in front of her, not behind her. Beside her. He looked at Kieran politely. "I'm Rowan." Kieran managed a stiff nod. "I know who you are." His gaze shifted toward Elena. "I made the biggest mistake of my life." She smiled sadly. "No. You made the choice you wanted. I was foolish. You were honest." He blinked. "I only heard the truth by accident." Kieran closed his eyes. Maris left 6 months ago. She realized leadership was harder than she expected. Elena wasn't surprised. "I'm sorry it ended that way." "You don't hate me?" She shook her head. "I spent too long carrying anger. I put it down." He looked at the peaceful clinic, the laughing children, the patients who greeted Elena with genuine affection, then at the Alpha King standing quietly beside her. Rowan hadn't interrupted, hadn't demanded, hadn't spoken for Elena. He had simply remained where she could reach him if she wished. Kieran finally understood. The difference wasn't power. It was respect. He gave a slow nod. "I asked you to build a future with me." His voice cracked. "Without ever making you feel like part of it." Elena's eyes softened. "I hope one day you forgive yourself." He managed a faint smile. "I don't deserve that. Perhaps not today." He looked once more at Rowan, then back at Elena. "I won't ask again." With that, he turned and walked toward his horse. None of the elders tried to stop him. As the riders disappeared into the forest, Rowan looked at Elena. "You handled that with more grace than I could have." She smiled. "I stopped fighting for people who don't choose me." Then she looked up at him. "I'm glad you did." A few weeks after Kieran's visit, Rowan arrived at Elena's clinic before sunrise. He carried no baskets, no medicine, no lumber. Instead, he held out his hand. "Come with me." She smiled curiously. "Where?" "You'll see." After a short ride through Whitestone Forest, they reached the river where Elena had first found him. Morning sunlight shimmered across the rushing water. For a moment, nothing seemed different. Then Rowan stepped aside. Elena's breath caught. The narrow riverbank had been transformed. Several stone buildings stood among flowering gardens. Smoke drifted from warm chimneys. Children laughed as they carried baskets of herbs between cottages. A large wooden sign welcomed every visitor. Riverside Healing Sanctuary. Beyond it stretched a small animal refuge, where injured wolves rested peacefully. Travelers shared breakfast beneath shaded pavilions. Healers worked side by side with apprentices. No one looked frightened. No one looked alone. When Elena whispered, "How?" Rowan smiled. "The plans began the week I returned to the capital." She turned toward him. "You built all this?" He shook his head. "No." "You did." She frowned. "I've never even been here." "You were here." He looked toward the river. "The day you climbed into that flood to save someone you didn't know." He met her eyes. "That day reminded me what leadership should look like." Elena stood speechless. An elderly traveler approached, carrying a walking stick. "Your Majesty." He bowed briefly before turning to Elena. "Thank you." She blinked. "For what?" "My granddaughter was treated here after a wolf attack." "We couldn't have afforded a city healer." He smiled warmly. "This place gave us hope." Soon another family approached. Then another. Each carried a different story. A rescued pup. A healed child. A lonely traveler, welcomed with food and shelter. None of them knew about Kieran or Elena's heartbreak. They only knew that because someone had cared enough to save one wounded stranger. This sanctuary now saved hundreds. Tears blurred Elena's vision. "I thought I was only helping one person." "You were." Rowan smiled gently. "And one person decided the kingdom should never forget that kindness." They walked quietly through the gardens until they reached the exact bend in the river where Rowan had washed ashore. A single willow tree shaded the bank. Beneath it stood a smooth stone engraved with simple words, "Compassion changes more lives than we ever see." Elena brushed her fingers across the inscription. Behind her, Rowan drew a slow breath. "There is one more thing I want to ask you." She turned. He stepped closer. Not as a king, simply as the man whose life she had once carried out of the river. Then, he slowly lowered himself onto one knee. Elena's heart skipped. "Rowan?" He looked up at her with the same quiet smile he had worn the morning he first woke in her little clinic. There was no royal ceremony, no crowd waiting to cheer, only the river, the willow tree, and the place where both their lives had changed. From his pocket, Rowan withdrew a small wooden box. Inside rested a simple silver mate ring. No jewels, no royal crest, just a slender band engraved with tiny willow leaves. "I've attended enough royal proposals to know how they're supposed to look," Rowan said with a soft laugh. "This isn't one of them." Elena smiled through the tears gathering in her eyes. "I noticed." He held the ring in his palm. "I don't love you because you saved my life. You would still be the woman I admire, even if we'd met on an ordinary afternoon." He took a slow breath. "I've watched you care for strangers who could never repay you. I've watched you comfort frightened children. I've watched you forgive without forgetting. And I've seen who you are when no one thinks anyone is watching." His voice softened. "That's the woman I fell in love with." Elena felt her throat tighten. For years, she had believed love meant proving her worth, working harder, giving more, becoming whatever someone else needed. Rowan had never asked for any of that. He simply asked for her. "I don't want fate to decide this." He looked into her eyes. "I don't want gratitude to decide it. I want your choice." Silence settled over the river. The breeze stirred the willow branches overhead. In the distance, wolves called softly through the forest. Elena thought about the life she had left behind. The promises that had turned into lies. The future she had once believed was lost forever. Then she looked at the sanctuary, at the children laughing across the gardens, at the travelers finding warmth, because one wounded stranger had survived. Finally, she looked back at Rowan. "You know something?" He smiled. "What?" "The first time I met you, I thought you were the most stubborn patient I'd ever had." He laughed. "I probably was. You argued over every bowl of medicine. It tasted terrible. It saved your life." "I admitted that eventually." She laughed with him, then gently took the silver ring from his hand. Instead of waiting for him to place it there, she slipped it onto her own finger. This time, she reached down and helped him to his feet. "I'm choosing to." For a moment, neither spoke. Then Rowan wrapped his arms around her. Not tightly, not possessively, simply as though he had finally come home. Above them, wolves emerged along the riverbank. One by one, they lifted their heads toward the evening sky. Their howls echoed across the valley. The people working in the sanctuary looked toward the river and smiled. No announcement was needed. Everyone already understood. This wasn't the beginning of a love story. It was the reward for two people who had quietly chosen each other every single day. 5 years later, the Riverside Healing Sanctuary had become the heart of the kingdom. Travelers planned their journeys around it. Healers came from distant packs to study there. Every injured wolf, every abandoned pup, every frightened child who arrived at its gates found the same welcome: a warm meal, a safe bed, and someone willing to listen. Queen Elena still worked there every week. She tied bandages with her own hands, mixed herbs in the same stone mortar she had used in her little forest clinic. She greeted every patient by name whenever she could. When visitors apologized for bothering the queen, she simply smiled. "You came to a healer, so let me heal." One bright spring morning, a group of young apprentices gathered around her beside the river. One curious girl raised her hand. "Your Majesty, may I ask you something?" "Of course." "Why did you build the sanctuary here?" "There are better roads closer to the capital, and more people there." Elena looked toward the gently flowing river. For a long moment, she said nothing. Then she smiled. "Because this is where I stopped believing my story was over." The apprentices listened quietly. She pointed toward the water. "Years ago, I pulled a wounded stranger from this river. I thought I was saving one life." She glanced toward the gardens, where Rowan was helping a little boy plant herbs. "I didn't know that kindness would grow into all of this." Just then, Rowan walked over carrying two mugs of tea. He handed one to Elena before looking at the children. "She's being modest again," the apprentices laughed. "What really happened, Your Majesty?" one boy asked. Rowan slipped his hand into Elena's. "The truth is, she rescued a king." He smiled at his wife, and without realizing it, she rescued herself too. Across the sanctuary, laughter echoed as wolves played with children beneath the willow trees. No one cared about rank, only kindness. As the sun began to set, Rowan and Elena stood together beside the riverbank where they had first met. Neither spoke. They didn't need to. The rushing water carried away old pain long ago. It had left behind something far greater: peace. The kingdom remembered the woman who disappeared after discovering her mate's betrayal. History remembered something else. She refused to beg for love from the Alpha, who only valued what she could do. Instead, she walked away. Saved a wounded stranger, built a place where compassion mattered more than status, and found an Alpha king who never asked her to prove her worth, because he had recognized it from the very beginning. Real love was never built on promises. It was built on the quiet choices two people made every ordinary day.